How do you pitch a VC on your business idea through his iPod? Welcome to Venture Voice, show number 2, where we'll discuss that question and many others. I'm Greg Gallant, and this is the second part of my interview with Dick Costolo, CEO of FeedBurner, which provides services to publishers of RSS, Really Simple Syndication. Please make sure that you listen to the last show, but even if you haven't, I think this one will be a lot of fun for you. So here we go.
Yeah, so what do you look for as you're building your team? Do you try to get people who've worked for big companies or small companies?
Yep. We try to get people who have worked for a couple, you know, one or two small companies before. I think there's a huge difference in the startup mentality. All the people listening to this are going to say, well, thanks for stating the obvious, but I do think that there's a huge difference in the at all levels of the company between the startup mentality and big company mentality. So we do try to find people who have worked at small companies for a while, who like working in the small company environment, who definitely have the I don't mind answering the phone and making the coffee, and not people who, you know, are going to say, hey, look, I was, you know, senior VP of biz dev over at XYZ Corp. I don't make coffee, and I need my own phone number when we move in and everything else.
To communicate around with your team there, how do you use RSS, or do you use RSS?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been using it for a while. We put internal statistics reports into things that we all have subscriptions to. We use this for just a bunch of stuff. We use blogging and RSS as our, I would say, as, you know, primary means of communication, both amongst ourselves and with our customers.
So you have one internally too?
Yes, absolutely. So we've got internal blogs. I think it's true that all of the tools we use throughout the company are web services, you know, I would call web 2.0 tools, like Basecamp for project management, right? People use Backpack for personal FeedBurner tasks lists, on and on and on. So I think that's correct. I don't think there are many tools we use that are not those kinds of, you know, web 2.0 tools, from both the standpoint of, you know, having feeds associated with them, being able to access them via APIs, etc.
And also, how do you interact with your VCs now, especially being in other cities? And also, do you use blogs or RSS to communicate with them?
Well, no, not particularly. I mostly communicate with our investors via, you know, very frequent email updates, email back and forth. We also use Instant Messenger here at the office. I always encourage, and everywhere we've been, to have IM windows up all day, because it's just another quick means of being able to shoot somebody. You know, for example, we'll have a support setup where a few people are on support, customer support every day. So the way FeedBurner runs is everybody in the company does customer support. When people come in and interview for VP jobs, we say everybody here does customer support, and that means monitoring the support forums. That means responding to any incoming feedback emails. Everything. So, you know, if there are a few people on support during the day, people will use IM to say, hey, I got that latest email and so forth. And so I also use IM to communicate with a couple of the investors. I use email frequently, and then we have board meetings, you know, once every 6 weeks or so. I think that my advice to entrepreneurs on communicating with investors is it's hard to, you can't really over communicate. I think that the mistake people make is they get, you know, bogged down in stuff that they need to be doing to drive the business, right? And, you know, I don't have time to send a long update email right now because, or even a short update email right now because I'm doing these 50 other things. But it always pays off to, you know, over-communicate with your board, I think. And just from the standpoint of their ability to help you, from the standpoint of making sure there are no surprises at board meetings, and so forth.
You know, it's interesting to see how you guys approach feedback. I've read several blogs where people criticize your service, and you'll post a comment right on their blog to respond.
Yeah, so that's another, you know, part of our, again, when people come in here, what we say is, look, if you're on support on, you know, Tuesday and Thursday, there are three things that you have to do. You have to have, you know, Technorati and, you know, Technorati watch list on FeedBurner. You have to check for feedback emails, and you have to check the support forums throughout the day. And so whenever we see anything in a search watch list that's labeled FeedBurner, you know, go and look at it, see what people are saying about the service, and if someone's, even if people are complimenting us frequently, we comment on there and say, thanks for trying the service, thanks for using it. But, you know, complaint, when people have complaints or criticisms about the service, that indicates that there are other people out there who have those issues who aren't writing about it, right? So it's important to know that, A, why they're having an issue or what their concern is, or and what we can do to help, if anything. And B, just make sure that we get, you know, as much helpful information as possible as part of that customer interaction to make sure that those kinds of things don't happen again, or that we can be very clear when they do happen again about the fact that, you know, these kinds of, you know, people might experience these kinds of things.
Do you think that'll be a trend? You think one day if I complain about, you know, Microsoft Word on my blog, that, you know, that Bill Gates or someone else from there is going to post a comment and say, this is what we're doing about it?
That's a great question. Well, I'll tell you a specific story that relative to this. So the short answer to your question is no. I don't think that'll be a large trend. I think it should be, and I think it would behoove companies to do that, but I think it will only happen with some companies, and there's a very specific reason for that. And that reason is, it's hard to go look at people, you know, when you're working 80, 90 hours a week, it's very hard to go read somebody's post who says, you know, DeCostolo's a jerk and FeedBurner stinks and these guys are idiots. And, you know, because your first reaction is to think, well, you know, don't use it. It's a free service. If you don't like it, blah, blah, blah. You know, your first defensive reaction is to think that way. And, you know, it takes a half an hour to go through all your watch lists and go to look at the site and see what people are saying, and then try to write a thoughtful comment on the site and that tries to elicit more feedback or helps us better understand what customers are going through. It's just a hard thing to do, and I think that I'll mention specifically David Sifri at Technorati about a year ago did the same thing. I remember seeing his comments on some posts and thinking, man, that took a lot of, you know. So here's somebody saying something bad about David. I'm sure, you know, I know he's working 100 hours a week, and he has the wherewithal and fortitude to go out there and write this thoughtful response and detailed response. And I think that engenders just endless, you know, not endless, but it engenders a ton of customer confidence in the company. But it's so hard to do, and it's so counter to the way most companies think, right? Most companies and most departments would say, well, here's this person out there who doesn't like this thing. Let's figure out how to make them go away, or issue a press release that counters whatever these people are saying about this thing, instead of embracing negative feedback as there's obviously, you know, somebody who seems to be a rational person has some issue with our company. We should figure out what it is. So it's a hard thing to do. And because it's a hard thing to do, I don't think it'll be a bigger trend, but I do think it should be a bigger trend.
So you haven't been calling your lawyer and having them write any cease and desist letters lately?
Yeah, no. We haven't been calling our lawyer and having him write any cease and desist letters. Absolutely not. No, we've tried to institutionalize throughout the company this notion of, if you're on support, you know, you need to be out there seeing what people are saying about us that day. Let everybody in the company know if it's something that you don't know the answer to. Don't go make something up. That's not going to help anybody. But, right, just send out, if it's something you see that, you know, so people who are starting with the company might see something if somebody's written about FeedBurner and say, hey, look, this guy wrote this thing in his blog. I don't really understand this issue he's saying he's having or why he's saying this. Can somebody help me out? You know, and somebody else will go post a comment or tell the person here's what's happening, and then they can post the comment. So it's both a great way for everybody in the company, from engineering to business development, to come up to speed on what people are thinking about FeedBurner, to, obviously, the right way to deal with your customers, which is address them head-on and address their concerns head-on.
So what's your blogging policy on the other side for your own employees? I know at least the four founders have blogs. Does everyone there have a blog?
Really, so that's a good question. We don't have one right now. And I'm hesitant to put one together in advance of, while we're still so small. Although, having said that, that's saying that's going to probably come back to bite me. But we just don't have one right now. we haven't, you know, I know of all the other things that are going on out there in the blogosphere and some of the issues that, that people and companies have had. I'm obviously aware of those, but we just haven't instituted one yet. And we've tried to make the culture here more one of, well, I guess I would just say we're dealing with that kind of stuff on an ad hoc basis now when things come up and we realize, oh, you know, we should have a vacation policy, right? Because people will say, what's the vacation policy? So we haven't been very formal about really any of our major HR processes to date, and we'll probably need to start doing that at some point, but we just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, so would you allow, like, if, you know, if your intern tomorrow comes to you, if you have an intern and says, I want to start a blog and I want to say that I work for FeedBurner and talk about where I think the market's going?
Sure, I have no problem with that. I mean, you know, you could ask me, you could take this down a slippery slope, right? You could say, okay, and well, now I want to talk about what our revenues were last week. Well, okay, now I do have a problem with that. Okay, well, we don't have a policy that says I can't do that. You know, fair enough. Okay, we'll invent a policy. But so it's a perfectly reasonable series of events, and we probably should have a policy at some point, but we just haven't put one together yet.
So now, do you see these bloggers, do you see a lot of people making a living off blogs, or do you think at all the money's going to be somewhere else?
I think that blogs will provide a number of ways for people to make money. I think that there will be a number of people who become, you know, who are really popular bloggers who will just make their living from their blogs. And that might be, you know, advertising or whatever. Probably it'll be advertising like most other content providers. So I absolutely think there will be people who are able to quit doing what they're doing and just maintain their blogs. What will that number be? You know, I don't know if it's going to be some massive number, right? But I also think there will be people who create other businesses around blogs. I mean, certainly Jason Calcanis at Weblogs, Inc., you would have to, you know, you'd have to call that a blog, a business that's making money from blogs, right? I mean, it seems to be doing very well. Those are clearly blogs. That's a success. And I think there will be other companies like that. And then, you know, I'm sure there will be a number of successful enterprises in the podcasting world. So early days for podcasting. I mean, it's really, you know, so I was at this conference a couple weeks ago, and someone said, you know, how are we going to make money from podcasting? And I started laughing, and I said, man, it's only been, you know, people have only started doing this in October, right? When the web, you know, became popular, we at least had, like, you know, 10 months to start thinking about that, and RSS had a couple of years, and, you know, podcasting, at least let it get to be a year old before, you know, there has to be a definitive answer to that. So I have no idea what the business models around podcasting will be, but it's certainly been the case through the history of, you know, communications and media that when these new forms of communication and new forms of media are invented, there are all sorts of interesting ways that people come up with to, you know, take advantage of them and build businesses around them in the future.
Yeah, so how many blogs and how many podcasts do you read or listen to?
Oh, gosh. So I listen to podcasts on a very ad hoc basis. So by that I mean I don't have a set of, you know, 30 podcasts that I listen to all the time. I listen to them based on things that podcasts that I see in other blogs that I read linked to that people say are, you know, hey, this is an interesting podcast from so and so about XYZ. So my personal habits to date are very subscribed to about 60 or 70 blogs, and I think it's probably 70 now, and then I listen to podcasts based on, you know, someone in a blog or someone will send me an email saying, hey, you should listen to X or Y, and that certainly still fills up a lot of time, but I don't have a bunch of podcasts that I'm, you know, subscribed to yet. I think I'll, you know, that'll sort itself out as I start listening to podcasts from similar publishers who I think, you know, okay, I've listened to this guy 3 times now. They've all been interesting. I should put it on the list.
Yeah, have you listened to the podcast from, I think, your CTO, Eric Lunt, that he managed to send to venture capitalist Fred Wilson's iPod?
So I have listened to that. Eric sent me that before he put that in Fred Wilson's group cast. Eric came up with this notion a while ago, of a long time ago, actually, not a long time ago, 4 months ago, seems like
that's a long time if the thing's a year old, right?
This notion of group casting, which was, hey, I'm going to tag these podcasts at Delicious. You know, I'm going to create a tag called Groupcast at Delicious or Eric's Groupcast. And then anybody here at FeedBurner can go into Delicious and tag something Eric's Groupcast if they think I should listen to it, right? So when I said earlier, you know, I listen to podcasts on an ad hoc basis, that's another interesting way to do that, right? Eric can just create this tag called Eric's Groupcast, and then anyone can go into Delicious and tag something Eric's Groupcast, and then Eric will just get it. It'll get downloaded to his iPod because he's created a FeedBurner feed for Eric's Groupcast and made it a podcast, so, right, he just catches anything that anyone tags that way. Well, Eric then had the idea too, hey, Fred's got this, you know, Fred's got this list of MP3s he listens to, I'm going to put, and he's created a Delicious tag for it, I'm going to put an elevator pitch, I'm going to create this little elevator pitch, and then I'm going to go to Delicious and tag it Fred's podcast, and then, you know, sure enough, got this email from Fred, you know, a few days, a day later, rather, to Eric saying, hey, very cool. I'm driving, driving down the highway the other night listening to whatever people were put in my podcast directory, and all of a sudden I get this elevator pitch from Eric. So for people listening to this and wondering what the heck we're talking about, this notion of group casting, of being able to go into Delicious and tag up some audio content that somebody else subscribes to is very cool. I think there'll be a lot of that, right? So then, I don't know if you've seen this morning, but David Hornick at Venture Blog now created a Venture Blog.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Delicious. So people can create these little elevator pitches, these little elevator pitch audio files, go to Delicious and tag them as Venture Blog, and then David's got a feed off of that that he'll just you know, put his iPod, when he, you know, next time he pops his iPod on, he'll hear all the elevator pitches that people have tagged up for him. So that's a very, very cool use of group casting, and I think there will be other interesting uses of it.
Yes, maybe I should revise my question from earlier. Should the entrepreneur, if they can only do one, write a business plan, do a blog, or do a podcast, a group cast to get the venture capital?
Great question. If they can only do one thing, write a business plan or do an elevator pitch podcast, I would again pick the elevator pitch podcast. It's quick attention. You're going to get to these guys when you've got their undivided attention. That's the right way to go about this stuff.
Great, so very different times than your grandfather's business,
I should say so.
Looking forward for your company, what do you see is the greatest opportunity in terms of kind of what direction you're going, you know, whether you're going to keep doing this kind of grabbing these small bloggers or doing more corporate gigs, and then also what kind of threats do you see? Do you see competition or people insourcing?
Yep. So I think the greatest opportunity for FeedBurner is not corporate RSS feeds. We think the big opportunity is public publishers. And by public publishers, I mean people who provide publicly available content. And that is everyone from people who are just starting out blogging to publishers of big commercial media feeds. We're not really interested at all in the enterprise RSS stuff. So our biggest opportunity is that I think that RSS will continue to, RSS use and adoption will continue to explode. People will figure out ways to make it more mass market consumable. Those will cause it to grow even faster, and there will be tons of opportunity for publisher services in that space, if you will. I think the biggest threat to our business, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think this is going to sound trite and unfortunate, but I think that there's such a wealth of opportunity, and we're sort of, you know, the first ones out there doing what we're doing, that the biggest threat to our company right now is us screwing it up, to be perfectly honest. You know, we're not in a position where, you know, if you think about the different kinds of businesses you could be in right now, there are lots of businesses that are challenging to be in. Either there's not that much interest in what you're doing, or people don't understand the ROI around what you're doing, or you have to convince an IT group to do what you're doing, even if it does have ROI and there's interest around it. We don't have any of those challenges. There's a ton of interest in what we're doing. People understand why they need it. People are adopting it, you know, rapidly. We just have to, again, we just have to keep doing what we're doing as fast as we're doing it and not slow down. So if you bottom line that, I think the biggest threat to FeedBurner is we grow to the point where we're not able to innovate and respond to customer needs as quickly as we have been today. So hopefully we'll try to build the business and the company in such a way that we can keep being innovative and fast.
So you mentioned that this is the Web 2.0 now. Is this also a Bubble 2.0? Have you been seeing some deals going on out there where you say these guys got too much money or they're never going to be able to return that?
Well, you know, so I think that it would be disingenuous to say that there isn't certainly a level of hype and excitement around blogs and RSS and everything right now. So I think that the question is it cautious optimism this time and there really is reason to be excited about this stuff? Or is it really, you know, or is it getting to be bubbly already? I don't think it's getting to be bubbly already. I think that people are saying, you know, well, everyone's getting too excited about this stuff again, and hey, look what happened last time. And it's not like people are out there, throwing $20 million at freeblogs.com, and the business pitch is we're going to put ads for pizza on freeblogs.com, right? I mean, you're not seeing that kind of stuff. You're seeing companies with solid technology raise reasonable amounts of money to do what could be meaningful businesses. It's not to say that, you know, they're all going to work. It's not to say that most of them are going to work, but it's much more reasoned and thoughtful. Look, this appears to be an interesting opportunity. These appear to be people who have done this kind of thing before. Let's make a reasonable investment.
If Google or Yahoo acquired you tomorrow and made you sign a non-compete and kind of let you do your own or, you know, leave it to you to go off and start another business, what area would you get into? Or would you just take a little vacation?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, this goes back to your earlier question. I just haven't been paying enough attention to what else is going on out there right now to be excited about, to think, you know, boy, if I could go do that. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm just not distracted at all right now, in a way that's making me think, you know, well, if I could go do X, Y, Z, I would go do that. I think that what'll happen, at least the way it's kind of worked to date for us, is, you know, you don't really get excited about something new until you're not doing what you were doing, or at least you're not, you know, you're not paying attention to what you were doing anymore. So it would probably be the case that if that happened and I were, you know, out of work tomorrow, it would probably be a few months for poking around and listening to what people were doing and so forth before I, you know, could really get excited or interested in anything else again. It's not like there are other things that I'm looking at thinking, boy, that sure would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so the method is you just sit back and read some blogs.
It's a better way to figure out what you're going to do next as well, because you're not sidetracked with other things you should be doing. You're not thinking about what you'd like to do next in terms of what you don't like about what you're doing now. Those can be bad ways of making future choices. It's much better to wait till you're not doing what you're doing now and haven't been doing it for a little while, and then figure out what you want to go do next.
Yeah, so did you find it hard to separate the good ideas from the bad? Like, were there other ideas when you were thinking of FeedBurner that sounded good at the time that in retrospect you're glad you didn't choose?
Absolutely. And the way you do that is, I think the right way to do that is you try to build prototypes and get things up and running and show them to people quickly. And see what the level of interest is, and see what the barriers to doing that kind of thing are, and that gives you a sense of oh, this is going to be harder than, you know, to build a business around than we thought, or oh, we didn't realize there are all these other kinds of challenges in this particular market. et cetera. So I'm absolutely, you know, to get to back to your questions of would you do X or write a business plan, my answer is usually not write a business plan. My answer is usually do the other thing, where the other thing is either just start communicating with people about what you're thinking about doing, or building a prototype and showing that to people, or building a demo and showing that to people, and then using that as a mechanism for making decisions.
And do you have any examples of bad ideas you were excited about?
I don't really. Other than to say, I'm trying to think of one. If there's anything in particular that's an obvious one. No, they're mostly usually just they most of them had usually got thrown out at the idea germination stage. If I could actually think of one right now, I would tell you. I'm having a hard time.
So there's no business plan for the pizza blog.
I think they all got paged out of my memory.
Yeah, no business plan for the pizza blog lying around your desk.
No business plan for freedinner.com lying around in the corner. Anyway, no, I could probably come up with one if I thought about it for a half an hour, but I don't recall what any of them are off the top of my head. Usually, when they get relegated to bad idea, I just try to forget that I ever was ever thinking about it.
Yeah, it's probably a good policy. Just as long as you never blogged it to leave a record, right?
Too much other stuff to worry about.
Hey, great. Well, that was about all the questions that I had. Do you have any kind of parting thoughts for entrepreneurs out there?
No, I think that the one parting thought I have, and specifically in relation to podcasts, is, I mean, it's amazing how much more high bandwidth they are and how much more fun they are to listen to than if you actually had transcribed this conversation. And I think that has really amazing implications for the future of media that people haven't thought about yet. And I think that elevator pitch podcast is just the first tiny example of how cool this stuff is going to be and how much this is going to change the way people think about things. Like, if, you know, 2 weeks ago, well, not even 2 weeks ago, now, today, you can go around and read people that say, podcasting, it's just radio. Well, it's not just radio, and that whole notion of that elevator pitch is a great example of something you're not going to get on Sirius satellite radio. It's something you're not going to get on FM radio. It's something you're not going to get, you know, anywhere. It's a purely, you know, podcasting plus tagging plus feeds phenomenon, and there are going to be more and more of those, and I think that it's going to be really cool to see the different things that people do with that.
Great, and just to leave something for my fellow podcasters and bloggers, could you give us a elevator pitch for why we should be using FeedBurner?
The elevator pitch for using FeedBurner for podcasters is that we are providing and are going to continue to provide the most comprehensive set of services to make your podcast as widely distributed as possible, with the ability to create as much awareness for it as possible, and the ability to consume it as easily as possible. So you won't have to worry about all the different ways people can subscribe to podcasts, all the different ways you can promote your podcast, and any problems people might have with trying to pick up a podcast. We deal with all that stuff, and we're going to continue to provide more services around that. Services like making sure your podcasts are indexed at rich media search engines, one-click subscription, etc. You won't have to worry about any of that stuff if you run your podcast through us.
Well, thanks a lot, Dick, for answering your phone yourself and doing this interview with me.
Absolutely, sure. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the time.
That's it for my interview with Dick Costello of FeedBurner. We mentioned a bunch of links and things happening on the internet that might be of interest to you in this podcast. So we'd really like it if you check out venturevoice.com, where you can find links to everything that we mentioned. No need to take notes throughout listening to our podcasts. And we look forward to having you back for our next show with Philip Kaplan, who gained his .com fame when he started eftcompany.com and is now working on a new venture, or taking his venture to the next level, with Sequoia Capital. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.